Hello, hola, bienvenidos. This is The Conscious Gringo, episode one. What is The Conscious Gringo, you're probably asking? You probably clicked on this because the artwork looked amazing and you were probably intrigued by the title, but you're like, what in the world is going on? This seems bizarre. But hey, guess what? I'm figuring that out myself, but I'm so glad you're here. My name is Donald McLowan, and I am the gringo you see on the cover of this podcast. And I was very inspired to start this podcast after wrapping up 3 months living in another country for the first time. I was in Mexico City for 3 months, and it was my first time living outside the United States. And I had nothing short of a life-changing experience. Now, a little bit about me. I'm a writer. I'm a musician. I also work in book publishing. And I have traveled a decent amount in my life, but mostly in the U.S. And I've always known that travel is transformative. And I've had very powerful experiences traveling, very eye-opening, insightful ones. But my first time living in another country, adapting to a new culture, learning a new language, was in Mexico. And the unique aspect of Mexico City, not only is it just very much in the news right now with the whole digital nomad issue or topic, depending on how you feel about it, it might be something that brings up negative connotations for you or positive ones, but there's no doubt that Mexico City is very popular right now. And I was drawn to it for, I don't know, somewhat mysterious and hard to describe reasons now that I look back. I don't even remember when the seed of Mexico City got planted in my mind. It wasn't from some trendy Instagram reel, and it wasn't because some other digital nomad told me to go there, but something pulled me there. My first visit was in October of 2024, and I was just there for a week. And even that week felt like a month in terms of just all the experiences that I had that were just kind of magical. And I was just like, whoa, I've never seen anything like this. And then I came back for 3 months and really wanted to have the experience of living outside the United States, because I knew there were just things that I could learn. And that gradually started to generate in my subconscious the idea for this podcast. Now, what am I going to be doing with this podcast? I have two basic goals. I'm so interested in talking with people who either are on this sort of nomad or expat or immigrant path. Those terms can be somewhat confusing, a little bit divisive at times. So in this podcast, we'll break them down more. But in general, someone who is either on a path to living outside their country or is just traveling around a lot and has a lot of experience living outside their home country or is actually trying to make another country their home. The reason I want to talk to those people, and it's not just in Latin America, but I believe with this podcast and what I'm interested in, there's going to be a lot of people that I'm talking to who are living in Latin America or somewhere Spanish speaking. There's many cities like Mexico City or Buenos Aires or Barcelona where a lot of people, either nomads or otherwise, have moved. And of course, so many things being in the news lately, like the whole gringo go home expression, protests against gentrification. That's all fascinating to me, because I think in the United States, at least what I can speak to, for so long, immigration has been this political flashpoint. But I feel in myself, and I've felt in many of my friends, that there's like this strange phenomenon happening where a lot of people are just growing more curious about leaving the U.S., for a variety of reasons, whether it's climate or the economy or politics or whatever, many different things. And I feel that it's going to be necessary to have a space for conversations between people who are, again, nomads, immigrants, expats, whatever term applies, and locals living in places like Buenos Aires or Mexico City or Barcelona. My goal, my hope, is that by having a space for conversations between these two groups of people, and certainly other kinds of conversations and other types of people as well, it's not my exclusive focus, but I feel like we have so much in common with these issues. And a point that my guest today, Kevin Jung, made is that we're all, at the end of the day, human beings with very similar needs, just being expressed differently based on our culture, our background. But for example, a Mexican coming into the United States looking for better opportunities or a better way of life, and an American looking at trying to go to Mexico for a better way of life or better opportunities. Yes, there are a lot of differences in terms of their background, their socioeconomic status, what's going on in their country or with their family or whatever. So many differences, but at the same time, we all just want to live somewhere where we feel like we can have a great life, we can be happy, we can be fulfilled. And I think the world is just going to continue to be nomadic, honestly, as it always has been, but especially lately, again, with climate change and economic turmoil or political turmoil, I think we're in a really interesting moment where a lot of people from America or Europe, not that I'm an expert in all the historical facts and figures, but it just feels like we're in a moment where a lot of people from, for lack of a better term, the Western world are experiencing this for the first time. You know, when I was younger, I never dreamed of living outside the United States. It just never occurred to me that that would be something I would do. But now I'm at a point where I'm like, do I want to live in the United States at all? And yeah, it's something we're going to explore on this podcast. And I feel like this is going to be a vehicle for my own learning. And I want to bring you, the listener, in as well. If you have any interest in travel and living in different countries, you're going to want to stick around, because I think we're going to talk a lot about really interesting themes about what travel does to you as a person, how you can apply the change in mindset and perspective that you gain from travel to other areas of your life, and in general, how you can just become more aware and perhaps just a better person simply by nature of being curious, expanding your horizons, engaging with people that look different than you, learning new languages, adapting to new cultures, all that wonderful stuff. It's beautiful, and I love it, and I'm passionate about it. So today we have Kevin Jung on the podcast. Kevin is an awesome dude. He and I met in Mexico City at a volunteer event, I guess, for lack of a better term. There is a co-living space where Kevin once lived, and every 2 weeks they get a group of people together to cook meals for an orphanage. Another friend of mine in Mexico City told me about this, and I've done some volunteer work in the United States, and I met some really interesting people through that. And when I got to Mexico City, another genesis for this podcast was the thought in my mind of just, well, I don't just want to be any other gringo. I don't want to be walking around not knowing Spanish, just saying, oh my God, it's so cheap. And yeah, I'll have a coffee and let me open up my big MacBook and start doing my digital nomad stuff. I was really mindful of, if I'm going to be here, I want to take my experience further than that. And I was really committed to not only learning Spanish, but really engaging with Mexico City in as many ways as possible. And a friend of mine mentioned this volunteer opportunity. I knew right away I had to take it. There are certain things in life when you know you're going to be taken on sort of a magic carpet ride. You're just going to have some experience that's going to take you somewhere you couldn't have imagined. And this certainly did for me. I met several friends at that event, and it was an amazing time just being interestingly enough, mostly with other expats or non-locals, people that weren't Mexican, though there were some Mexicans there as well. But it was perhaps a microcosm of what I think is so beautiful when these groups of people interact, because we were having some conversations very similar to what I want to explore more in this podcast. So I struck up a friendship with Kevin, and I'm really excited for you to listen to our conversation. Kevin is a fascinating person. He has lived in so many different countries and has, in particular, built friendships in all these different places that he's lived, whether it was Brazil or Thailand or Switzerland or the United States or Korea. And he just has a really interesting perspective on adaptability, curiosity, resilience, and friendship is a really fundamental way to engage with a new place, a new culture, and really get the most out of it. So without further ado, let's jump into the conversation with me and Kevin. Right, Kevin, man, I'm so glad to see you. So excited for you to be here. Conscious Gringo, it's a blast to have you here. I'm really excited to talk with you about so many things. You've done quite a lot in your life. But yeah, first of all, I just want to ask you how you're doing. What's going well for you right now?
I'm doing pretty well. Well, first of all, thanks so much for having me on the podcast. I really appreciate it. And I'm excited to obviously have this conversation with you. I'm doing pretty well. I've just been quite busy at work, but overall doing really well, spending a lot of time with friends and prioritizing my social life a little bit. So everything's going really well. How about yourself?
I'm great. You know, that thing you just mentioned of work is very much on my mind because work has been absolutely nuts for me lately. But I was talking with our friend Bill Gelfeld earlier today. I did a podcast episode with him, and we talked a little bit about, and Mexico specifically, I'm curious for your take on this. And then we can rewind a little bit and talk a little bit about some other aspects of your life to get into some different things. But since you mentioned this, the topic of work, for me in particular, I have felt when I was in Mexico for those 3 months I was there in Mexico City, you know, I wasn't working with Mexicans or I wasn't at like a company, but I did feel just like a distinct different in terms of the overall sort of pace of life in Mexico or in Mexico City, where it was a little bit slower. And if I was in a cafe or restaurant or whatever, and I was waiting for something, at first I was like, oh my God, this coffee is taking 10 minutes to get here. But the thing I realized over time is like, oh, the pace of life is just different here. And I also felt that sort of shifted something for me, which was the whole goal for me of wanting to spend time outside the US is like, let me just get a different perspective, see what it's like to live in another country. I was like, man, in America, we do place so much emphasis on work and working hard and working a lot. We value that. We sort of reinforce that in our culture. And you, as someone who was, you were born in South Korea, but you've lived like all over the world. I'm curious for your reflection on that, just from the places you've lived and how, what you've felt in terms of maybe differences between different cultures that you've been in. And also, yeah, what you feel now being in Mexico City, and you're working for an American company, but that's has a, you know, a branch in Mexico City. So that's even its own kind of slight difference. So I'm curious for your thoughts on that.
Yeah, in terms of work, I mean, in general, when I traveled, obviously every culture is very different. And for the most part, throughout my professional career, it was mostly working with very little foreigners, but predominantly with locals. So the team largely consisted of locals, and then there would be maybe a couple of foreigners at the top management, right? So I had to learn to adapt because every single culture is very different, and the working culture specifically is very different as well. And especially when I was in management positions in those countries, it can be very lonely and very challenging because you have certain work habits and you have certain ways that you've always done your work. And then you go into this new country and people are just very they're in their own way, right? So they've always done it in a certain way, and it's completely contrasting from yours. So just have to kind of learn how to navigate that. And sometimes it can be really stressful. It can be challenging. But I think humans are very adaptable. So eventually you just kind of adapt. In terms of Mexico, though, it's been great because, as you mentioned, I work for a US company with an office here. And I think about 60% of our colleagues are Mexican, maybe even 70%. And 30-40% are foreigners. But all the Mexicans that I work with have lived abroad. A lot of them have lived in Europe or the US. So they understand the Western way of working as well. So they're very flexible, very adaptable as well. So we have this mutual understanding. So everything is very smooth here, so far in my experience.
Yeah, I've heard specifically Bill was mentioning, you know, there's a lot of similarities just between the US and Mexico. So it's maybe not quite as much of an adjustment. But yeah, man, that's, you know, it's a really interesting dynamic. I used to work when I first got started my career in publishing. I was first on the academic, medical, kind of scientific side of publishing. And I worked a lot with different scientists all over the world, you know, mostly remotely, like over email and stuff. But the thing that was always so funny to me and like all my colleagues was just the difference between the American sort of out of office message versus the, you know, European, for example, out of office message where an American would be like, I'm away from my computer for the next 24 hours. I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Whereas so many of the scientists I would email, especially in the summertime, they'd be on sabbatical and they'd be like, yeah, I'm in Switzerland for the next 3 months. See you later. The amount of time that they have to take vacation and the value that they place on that is incredible. But yeah, let's jump back. Let's give the people some context on just what you've done, how you've got to where you are. I know that's a big question, but it's fascinating. We could talk at the high level and then maybe go into some specifics because you've been around a lot. You've been in different cultures at different times of your life. And I'm really, really interested to learn more about just how that shaped you as a person. Because a big thing for me with this podcast is I believe that travel is one of the most transformative things that you can do. And a lot of people do travel, but there's also a way to go about traveling. And especially, you know, if you spend more dedicated time outside your home country, a way to really engage and invest in a particular place that takes effort. And it's not something that just happens on its own. So I'm sure you've seen and learned a lot about that through your different experiences and different cultures. But yeah, just tell me a bit about your upbringing, how you've moved around so much and the different cultures that you've lived in, and maybe just a few reflections on what you've learned from all of that.
Yeah, well, I actually started off, so I was born in Korea, as you mentioned, and I think I was like a month old, if I'm not mistaken. My parents were already living in Hong Kong before I was even born. So like my mom was pregnant when they were in Hong Kong. My mom specifically flew to Korea to have me because they were just in the phase of transitioning or passing Hong Kong back to the UK. So this was in the early 90s. And so they wanted me to make sure that I had a Korean passport and not potentially a Chinese passport. It's really bad to say this, but that was sort of their mindset at the time. I think it was simply because of the number of visa-free, you could say, benefits that the Korean passport has, right, compared to the Chinese one. So born in Korea, and then after a month later, we flew right back to Hong Kong. So I spent like a month there, and that's sort of what started my globe-trotting journey around the world. And from then on, I think, yeah, so it went all the way from Hong Kong. I started just living in different countries every couple of years, and that led to me living and growing up in about 8 different countries. And then I went to college in Europe. So from then on, I just kind of continued my journey to live in different countries as well, because I wanted to, well, first of all, I didn't want to go back to Korea because just growing up in different countries and seeing different cultures, that's sort of what I'm used to. It's my comfort zone. So the thought of going back to Korea really terrified me a little bit. And at the same time, I just didn't feel like I connected with the people back home. So I was always pushing it back. And then eventually, while I was in uni, I had to stop my studies because as a Korean citizen, I have to serve in the military. So I had to stop my studies and move back to Korea for 3 years, which is the length that we have to serve. And that was a big challenge because reverse culture shock, like having lived in all these different countries, different places, being used to the diversity and then suddenly being only with one specific group of people that have specific values and specific mindsets. That was really, really challenging, but luckily I came out the other side. I adapted and I was able to make a lot of friends and had a good experience and learned a lot. And then after that, just throughout my career, I just kind of found opportunities to live outside of Korea continuously. So went in Southeast Asia and sort of spent almost a decade there. And then now in Mexico. So that's kind of in a nutshell, my journey.
Really quick, I want to pause on this idea on two things. One, with your parents, did they have like a sort of any sort of mindset or beliefs around travel that they instilled in you in terms of you being in these different places? Like, did they want you to go to these different places, or did it just kind of happen as a result of what they were doing?
It's a great question. So the whole reason why we moved around so much was my dad was very adventurous. So he had his first taste of living abroad, I think when he was in his late 20s. And he was working for a Korean company. And then his major is in English. And at the time, I think probably about 95% of the population did not speak English. Like, they didn't know a single word. But he was able to speak some English. So they started sending him abroad for business trips. And eventually they sent him to Hong Kong to open the branch there for the company. And so when he had that first taste, he was like, I want to continue doing this as well. So he started to actively find jobs that were outside of Korea. But at the same time, he had this entrepreneurial spirit. So he wanted to challenge himself and start opening businesses. So he would kind of jump back and forth between finding an opportunity, just moving the whole family and opening a business there, trying it out. And if it fails, he would just find a job in a different country. So it was always ping-ponging between those two things that sort of led us to keep traveling.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, given what your life is like now. You know, it's almost like a reflection of that, you know, moving around a lot, having this entrepreneurial side of you, which we'll talk more about in a second. But yeah, so I'm curious, especially, you know, as a kid, it's already difficult enough if you move around a lot within your home country, especially in terms of making friends and like having a sense of community and feeling like, you know, you can engage with it. So for you being, you know, in so many different countries, I'm curious how you navigated that in terms of what your, you know, social life was like as a kid, how you made friends. Were you able to think sort of globally, you know, depending on the time? You probably didn't have like a cell phone or anything like that to keep in touch with these people. So I'm curious how you, like, what your childhood was like with all that moving around. Were you making a lot of friends? Was it you had to make some and then leave them behind and make new ones in a new place, or what did it look like?
Yeah, so it was mostly, I mean, I remember the first time that we had to move, I remember just not liking it because I had made all my friends there and I didn't want to leave. And I was kind of like, why are we going? But we did a lot of that, obviously. And eventually it was more about so I made a lot of friends in one country, then I would move and say bye to the other friends. And then I would sort of have to start from scratch. And I think I was able to just kind of learn how to do that in a very high level. And I just continuously started doing that. But as I mentioned, like, I really hated it in the beginning, but then eventually I just became so used to it that it just became like, oh, we're moving again. Kind of like, whatever, I'll just make more friends again. But as a kid though, I was very, very shy and very, very introverted and very insecure as well. I was an insecure kid. And my parents would always kind of make fun of me for that. Like, looking back, they always poking fun at me about that. But they were really worried about me at some point because they were like, you're really introverted and you're really shy. And they think I was too naive. But I was still able to make a lot of friends along the way. So, yeah, I mean, just going back to your point again, it's mostly just, yeah, leaving friends behind, making new ones, leaving friends behind, making new ones. So kind of repeating that process. And I would say that along the way, there were certain countries where I struggled more. Like, for example, you know my story about the U.S. When I moved to the U.S. in my senior year of high school, that was really tough because everyone sort of has their own friend groups. But other than that, it was pretty easy to make friends.
It's funny you mention the introversion because, yeah, when I was younger, I was very, very introverted. And I could make friends, but like a lot of my friends, you know, it wasn't like we were doing anything adventurous. You know, we'd maybe hang out and play sports together or whatever, but like I remember a lot in my early 20s, it was just, I was in my room the whole time reading books or playing video games or whatever. And the interesting thing about travel for me is that I have become so much more adventurous, and I feel like it gets reinforced the more that I've traveled, especially solo travel. But I don't even think that it's like, I think that dimension of my personality has always been there, but travel sort of unlocked it. So I'm curious for you, how you've, with all that travel you've done, have you noticed anything that sort of like it developed certain traits in you that maybe, you know, well, I guess it would be hard for you to compare because you've done so much travel, you don't really know the difference of not doing it. But have you noticed any sort of traits from especially the traveling, but also the cultures that you've lived in that maybe have brought out different sides of you because you've lived in all these different places?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. I think in general, what I've learned is I've just become very, very adaptable because obviously every couple of years I have to move into a completely different culture. So adaptability is definitely one. Communication, because language barriers and, you know, you have cultural differences. There were certain times where I had to communicate with my fingers because I didn't speak the language for a while, even though I picked it up eventually. So yeah, those two are the big ones. And I think in general, though, one thing I've learned is, and I'm sure a lot of people will agree watching this, is human beings in general are very, very similar in general. They want the same things. They have the same desires, same goals, but they just express things differently because of the cultural aspects. And once I kind of realize that, that enhanced my adaptability even more, I think, because I know that people sort of operate the same way. And it's more about just understanding the nuances and different cultural traits. So yeah, I mean, those two are the biggest ones, communication and adaptability.
Yeah. So adaptability, that's something that's been on my mind with, I had a conversation with someone I met in a cafe in Mexico City. He also lived in Texas and he kind of was doing a similar thing to me where he was splitting his time. He'd been to Mexico City many times, but he didn't live there. And one of the things when I was first starting to feel like, because I live in Austin, Texas, at least now, and have for the last 6 years, but for a while I was feeling like, I feel like I'm just kind of outgrowing this place or I just need something different. And that's what drew me to living in Mexico City for the last 3 months like I did. And I was talking with him about, you know, Texas and Austin because he'd spent some time there as well. And one of the things that I was sort of lamenting about Austin and the culture here is that it's a transient place. Most people who live here aren't from here. And a lot of people who live here also are not putting down roots here. I was like, man, it's so cool that I'm here in Mexico City and I'm like meeting all these people and even like meeting him. It was just like, I've met so many people in Mexico City and I want to make friends with them and I want to have a connection with them. But I feel like there's this expiration date on my time here or there's just like a question mark because I don't live there. And he said something interesting where he's like, yeah, that's true. Like, you know, I do like recognize that element of the relationship if we, you know, if I make a friendship with someone or even in a dating context. But he also mentioned like, honestly, a lot of these people that I've met, like I still keep up with them, you know, over WhatsApp or whatever, or maybe we get on calls. And I just know that I have this connection in this country and I can always engage with it, you know, whenever I visit or it's an excuse to visit. And I guess what he was saying is like it caused him to think a little bit more globally about his friendships, which I think is super interesting because, you know, it's one thing to be like, yeah, you know, Mexico City even has a bit of that transience like Austin. There's so many people that have moved there or are passing through, but, you know, I don't think in a similar way, maybe aren't set on putting down roots or they don't know kind of like me if they can. So I'm curious for you and the different ways that you've navigated friendships, especially now as an adult, how have you approached that? Like, have you felt like there are times where I don't know if I can make a friendship with this person or make a connection because either my time is limited or their time is limited, or have you found a way to just not care or think about that and just approach it maybe with a more sort of longer or bigger picture mindset, I guess?
Yeah, for me, it's a good question. I think I've always just thought of it. I didn't really think of it in the way you described it. I think it was just more so of yeah, I'll make effort with every single person that I meet wherever I am, because I remember specifically there was a time where I didn't know I was leaving and I just made friends with certain people and I had to leave. But then there was a point where I bumped into them on holidays and I was like, oh my God, like what a coincidence. And that was sort of like, you never know when you're going to bump it, where and when you're going to bump into people. So for me, I think that experience put something in my head. And that thing was, you should make effort with every single person because you never know when you're going to see them, where you're going to see them. And now it's social media. It's even easier to meet them again. So as an adult, I think what I did or what I still do is I actually always try to get someone, people's contacts. And I still continuously put in the effort to build that friendship, no matter if they're staying for a month, 5 days, 2 days, like one day, doesn't matter. They're a tourist. I put in that effort. I get their contact because I know that eventually I will see them somewhere. And even if we don't bump into each other, maybe I'm going to travel to a place where they're living or where they're currently at as well. So yeah, in conclusion, I always make sure to put effort because you never know where you're going to see them.
And yeah, I love the sort of optimism behind that because, for example, I will always remember this. It was just a very special time. I was in San Francisco a few years ago and I met some people in a hostel there and it was my first time staying in a hostel. I really haven't talked to many of them since then, but you know, we follow each other on social media. I see like a like or comment coming from them sometimes. Occasionally I might text one or two of them, but there's one guy in particular who lives in Buenos Aires. And I just know that I want to go to Buenos Aires one day, and I know that I'll be able to go there and hang out with them. And it's all just because of this one experience and that we decided to like exchange contact information. And because of technology, we have that ability. So it's like this entire, not that like the entire trip would be built around him because, you know, he's amazing, but I don't know him that well, but it's just this additional factor that makes me excited to go there is because, oh, my friend, he's there. I know I can go hang out with him and likely deepen our friendship just because of that. So to stay on the theme of friendship for a minute, because I think it's really something that's been on my mind with the 3 months that I spent in Mexico City and something that's kind of behind the heart of this podcast with me trying to just learn more about what it's like to engage with a different country, a different culture in a more mindful, intentional way. I think making friends is a big part of that. And so many people would bring up the idea of, you know, when you want to see Mexico City, you kind of need to some degree, like a Mexican friend to be able to show you around to point out the things that you wouldn't otherwise know. Me as a gringo, of course not. You're not, you know, a gringo in the traditional sense, but you know, you don't come from the culture. So I'm curious, for you, because you've been in Mexico City for how long now?
About 7 months now, yeah.
Okay. So for you, have you like intentionally tried to make Mexican friends in order to, you know, just have a deeper understanding of the culture, maybe see some of those things that, you know, someone who's a foreigner or, you know, just doesn't have that understanding of the culture wouldn't be able to show you? Or how have you gone about that? Especially, you know, in Mexico City where there's so many people to potentially make friends with.
Yeah, I think Mexico specifically, I think I made a great choice because when I first came here, I actually moved into a co-living house. There was about 10 people living in the house. That was my first month. And I made friends right away with the people in the house. About 25% of those people were either Mexican or Latin Americans. And some of them were actually living in Mexico City like full time. So that was really helpful. That immediately put me in a position where I can hang out with them, you know, get some insights, and obviously they can show me around Mexico and help me understand the culture better. But you know, just like we volunteer at Casa Hogar, which for those of you that are watching that don't know, we actually cook for orphans every other Wednesday. So just that's one aspect where I actually met a lot of Mexicans as well. That's so through volunteering. So just being more active socially and putting myself out there and just trying different things. So the volunteering, I also met a lot of Mexicans at work who are now my friends. So just constantly putting myself out there and, you know, trying different things and finding occasions to meet people have really helped me meet a lot of Mexicans. Now, I didn't always do that in other countries that I've lived in. I think I was more stuck in the expat bubble, to be quite frank. But I have met locals in those countries too, but I don't think nearly as many as I have here in Mexico City, Mexico in general.
There's this idea of travel confidence. I don't know. Have you ever heard of that term? It's, I don't know, it might have been sort of a meme on social media, but I do think it's true to an extent where there's something about travel where, at least for me, it, especially solo travel, it's made me more adventurous, like I was saying before, and more willing to just go up and have random conversations with strangers in particular. I felt that pretty keenly in Mexico City, where so many times I would be at a cafe and, like, you know, I would do the same thing in Austin, but not to the same degree, where I was just like, I just want to go talk to this person sitting right next to me. A lot of times it was just an excuse to practice Spanish, but also just to get to know people. But yeah, I think there's so many beautiful things that can spin off from just like a one-off conversation you have with someone. They connect you with someone else, and then all of a sudden you've got a friendship you didn't even expect would happen. I'm curious, with the friendships that you've built with locals, has there been anything that you've learned along the way? Like, what has that helped you learn or understand about Mexico or Mexico City in terms of the culture and the way of life, especially things that you may not have been able to learn without having those friendships?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is probably the cultural aspects and the history of the country and the city. Because what I've noticed is, I think in general, everywhere sort of where I've traveled or lived is, when you actually make a local friend, number one, they are often surprised that you're putting in the effort, because I think there's just too many people that stick in their expat bubble. So they're not sort of used to, well, some are, but like I think for the most part, a lot of people are not used to foreigners making so much effort into making a local friend. So that's number one. And I think that leads to them actually really wanting to share their culture and their and the history. So they really educate you on the history and the culture, and they're really passionate about it as well. So they would love to take you to different places. So naturally, it's all connected, because if you show interest, they feel happy. So they want to take you around, and they want to show you their culture, and they want to make sure that you know Mexico and you enjoy Mexico. So that's kind of what I've learned, is just show interest in the locals, and they will be more than happy to show you around and tell you more about the country and make sure that you have a good time. So that's kind of what I learned, learning and befriending local people.
I can second that 100% with Mexico City specifically. I remember one time I was in an Uber, and I don't even remember how we got on this conversation, but I was reading, there's this book called Open Veins of Latin America that I had brought with me. And it talked about a lot of different Latin American countries, but some things about Mexico specifically. And I just happened to mention it to the Uber driver, because something about what we were talking about got us down that road. And then, you know, he started responding and telling me more things about his thoughts on all of that. And I was just like, not only is just this the most fascinating Uber ride conversation I've ever had, and not only is this way more advanced than my Spanish is able to handle, I was like, oh my God, like, I'm barely keeping up. But it was totally unexpected, but I could tell he was really excited to talk about that with me, just in terms of the history and culture and some of the problems he was sharing, just like his opinions about different perceptions that Mexicans or other people, foreigners, might have about Mexico. It was just a fascinating conversation. But yeah, I've seen that enthusiasm from locals when I've talked with them, because I have that myself, but it gets reinforced when someone else is really passionate about talking about it. And I think there's an element of people really, like, to your point about being surprised, I think part of it is because they just enjoy feeling seen, like, oh, this person has a genuine interest in understanding my culture and my language. They're not just a transient foreigner stuck in their expat bubble, but they have a different perspective, which is something that I really want to continue to build in myself and hopefully share and spread that mindset with this podcast. So I'm curious, for you, especially since you've lived in different places that do have those sort of expat communities, what do you think sort of leads people to be stuck in those expat bubbles and maybe not build or even get it sparked in the first place, that curiosity to learn more about a place?
I think it's two main things. Like, the first thing is probably comfort, because comfort and familiarity, because when you're actually in a new country, and especially if it's very different from yours, I guess in the beginning, a lot of people are kind of afraid and they're unsure about where, like, how to get things done, where to go. So naturally, they start to rely on, and I've been guilty of this too at some point, they naturally start to rely on other foreigners that have been living in my country for a while. So that sort of starts a friendship, and then they meet other foreigners, and it just becomes this whole big group of people just kind of staying together, and they feel comfortable, so they just kind of stay there and they don't really leave. The other thing I think is unfortunately more of a negative reason, and I think it's mostly people that think they're better than the local community and people of that country. So they refuse, actively refuse to interact with locals because they think they're lower than them. So that's something that I've seen as well. And I've even met people that think like that, not only about the locals, but even people of the same region or the same continent. For example, when I was in Thailand, I've met a lot of people that were from the Western world that thought that not only Thai people were lower than them per se, but also Asians in general. So they would think they're better than them, so they refuse to interact with other Asians. So those two, I think, are the biggest ones, which is really sad because, like you mentioned, like that Uber drive, right, for example, you get to really, if you interact with the locals, you get to really understand not only the country, but just you have a lot of fascinating conversations. And actually, by having those conversations with local people, it's going to help your life in that country because you want to just learn how to navigate the country better. So it's really sad that that exists, but, you know, that happens. And those are the two biggest reasons, I think.
So, wow, I was talking with, this is a good, like, sort of connecting a dot here. I was talking with Bill about this Mark Twain quote that has been on my mind, and it, I feel like, really encapsulates something that I think is important about travel. Bill had a good sort of counterpoint to it, but I'll read the quote here, which is, "Travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness, and many of our people need it sorely on these accounts. Broad, wholesome, charitable views of men and things cannot be acquired by vegetating one little corner of the earth all one's lifetime." So when I read that, it resonates with me because I do feel like travel can be so transformative. But at the same time, maybe for some people, it, especially if they stay in their bubbles, it can just kind of reinforce stereotypes or beliefs that they have. I don't know what the impetus is to change that, but it's really sad. I'm about to go to Thailand for the first time. It's going to be an interesting experience for me because I know, especially where I'm going to be in Chiang Mai, well, you've spent a lot more time in Thailand than I have, so correct me if I'm wrong, but there is a pretty sizable sort of expat community in Bangkok and in Chiang Mai. That's one of the things that I sort of don't like about travel and about this modern world that we have of the ability to be an expat or a nomad. I feel like, especially maybe it's my experience as a white American, but I just don't have a lot of confidence sometimes in my fellow white Americans that they themselves are engaging with the place in the way that I would like them to, that I would like other Americans to. But I also have to check myself with that perception as well. When I was talking with Bill, I was like, yeah, you and I are a couple of white guys, and we might get certain judgments on us that aren't true, because Bill, for example, he's been in like 100 different countries. He's lived in like 15 different countries, very diverse ones too, whether it's Asia or Africa, Latin America. But, you know, you can't tell that about someone just based on their appearance. But I'm guilty of that too, of people that look like me, but judging them for a different reason. So yeah, with the time that you've spent with these expat communities, are there any sort of particular like things you've learned, positive or negative, that like have made you want to maybe, I don't know, diversify your time in terms of time with expats, time with locals, or maybe anything that surprised you, like I'm saying, where, because I do think there are, and this is another reason I want to start this podcast, is to maybe raise the stock or the PR of the word gringo and American travelers in particular, because there are a lot of really fascinating, interesting people that do have sort of a stigma placed against them just because of how they look, being a white man, for example, even though I know there's a lot of privileges that I have in a lot of ways the world has sort of adapted to what white men want. There's also, you know, people will surprise you, and they always will because they're human and we're all human. So I'm curious if there's anything you've learned along those lines that might have surprised you in that sense.
Yeah, I think, well, two places that come to mind is actually Thailand, because we just spoke about it, and here in Mexico. Thailand, actually, I was really surprised in a very good way, because when I first got there and I started hanging out with the expats, I was really surprised at how well integrated they are. Thailand is probably the country where I've seen the most people make the most effort to integrate. A lot of people from the Western world, like you say, like white guys, right? A lot of them actually speak really good Thai. They make effort to learn Thai, even though it's a completely different language and it's a really hard language. So you're starting to see a lot of people nowadays, especially people in the Western world, create content in Thai specific for Thai people as well, because they want to reach the local people. But yeah, I mean, just going back to that whole topic, I was really fascinated by how well integrated they are and how much effort they put in. And I got really inspired by that when I was in Thailand, because in other countries, it was more so, for the most part, a lot of expats sort of sticking together and not really interacting with the locals. But Thailand was the first place where I was really like, wow, like everyone is hanging out with each other. And the other thing that I also noticed when I was there is there's a lot of really smart local people, like more than we think. Like people think that, I want to stay with expats because it's familiar and we have the same education, or we've had the same education, the same background. But you'll be surprised by how many locals have the same education. They've studied in Europe, they've studied in the US. And so they're actually as smart and as capable as an expat is. So that was really inspiring. That's sort of what really drove me to also make that effort to befriend local people. So it started there. And then when I came here, I literally experienced the same thing. Like so many capable, smart, well-educated Mexican people who are super cool. And also seeing a lot of Western people, especially from the US and Canada, really trying to integrate with the local people here. And again, that just, you know, I would say not only inspired me, but I think it just also reminded me how important this is and how important it is to maintain putting in that effort to befriend local people. So those things come to my mind.
It's wild too, going to some things that surprised me. One thing that really jumped out to me was the first time I went to a language exchange event in Mexico City. I knew it was going to be rough on me because my Spanish is not great, but I was like, I got to do this. I want to practice. But I was struck immediately by how great the English was from so many of the people there, to the point where I was like, why are you here? Like, you don't need to practice. You sound fluent to me. But it also was just a really sort of crystallizing moment for me of like, man, as an American speaking English, it's just crazy how much of the rest of the world has bent to that, has conformed to, okay, English is this sort of lingua franca, or franca, I think is the expression, like the bridge language between so many different cultures, which is beautiful in a way. Like I love English. I think it's a beautiful language, but the average American, you know, I don't know any of the data or statistics, so I'm kind of just pulling this out of thin air, but I would have to assume that, you know, Americans are, it's pretty rare for them to be bilingual unless their job specifically requires it, or they do something where just sort of out of the ordinary. But if an American's interacting with other people from other countries, it's most of the time going to be in English. Whereas, you know, so many other cultures have to learn English because that's sort of the lingua franca. But it was also amazing to me that a lot of the locals I met in Mexico City not only spoke English and Spanish, but multiple other languages as well. And I think that's just a fascinating thing that so many Americans miss out on because they never have to do that. So just as a quick aside, I'm curious, because you speak English, you speak at least some Spanish. I believe you're fluent in Portuguese. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And is there any other languages that you speak?
Yeah. So Korean, obviously, because I speak it fluently as well. And I speak a little bit of French. I would say it's my fifth language, because I went to college in the French-speaking part of Switzerland. So in order to survive, I sort of had to learn a little bit of French. So yeah, those are the languages.
So two questions on that. One, just is there anything that, you know, having to not only learn a different language, but so many different languages has taught you just about you know, anything in general, whether it's about you or about engaging with other cultures, but also something that I've heard from several different people is just how your personality can be slightly different in these different languages, which I never really knew about or had as a concept until I was in Mexico. And then I was like, wait, yes, I do feel like there are some differences in terms of how I express myself in Spanish versus English, which again, going back to travel, it sort of opens up this other dimension of who you are, or at least it can. So I'm curious if you had that experience at all with, especially with the other languages that you've spoken a lot, like Portuguese, you know, or Korean or English. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think the reason why, well, first of all, I definitely had that experience and still have it. And I think the reason why that happens is because when you actually learn a language, you're also exposed to the culture because you're also actually learning about TV, about media, about things that are going on in the country. So just combining all that, I think it kind of makes you become someone from that country. I don't know if that's the right way to say it. And so you start expressing yourself like the local people a little bit. So definitely have had that. Like, for example, in Korean, I think I speak a lot more conservatively, like not in terms of views, but like in terms of the way I speak, I'm more quiet. I say less words. Whereas maybe in Portuguese and Spanish, I'm more like proactive and maybe I smile more and I laugh more. So those are the things that I've sort of noticed. And definitely it plays a big impact, I think, in how you express yourself. And honestly, that's something I really love because I think it's a beautiful thing. It's just, you feel like you're living the culture. And I think it's hard to explain, but you feel like you're living that culture and it's such a cool feeling.
Exactly. One of the Airbnbs I stayed in, I struck up a friendship with the host. Her name's Maria. Shout out to Maria. She not only got me turned on to a lot of the Mexican meme accounts, which are hilarious. And once you start to engage with them, not only is it a great way to learn more Spanish and some slang and things like that, but then you really get a sense, or at least for me, I think Mexicans are very naturally funny, and seeing more of their sense of humor, or Mexican sense of humor, comes through and following those meme accounts has just been amazing. And then learning more about the importance of WhatsApp stickers, and man, so many of the group chats I've been in where it's with locals, you know, from Mexico City or elsewhere in Mexico, I'm just like, my God, like this, the stickers and like gifts they're sharing are so funny. It's one thing because it deepens a dimension of you, like me learning more about these things. I want to be able to express myself more authentically, like you're saying, in Spanish, and be able to engage with the culture more. But also something Maria told me was, we were talking one night and we were talking about this particular concept, and she was like, she made it as a joke, but also like, I feel like it can be true for a lot of people. Like, she was like, yeah, in English, I feel like I'm a lot less funny and charming. And I was like, well, I want to know that side of her more. And so I need to learn more Spanish to be able to engage with that side of her personality more. So yeah, for people who do spend more time in a country that's not their own, that's another reason why I think getting out of the bubble of, you know, if you're an expat or whatever, is so important, because you're just missing out on beautiful things that are around you that you don't even know. And that then can be a piece of you, you know, like with the Mexican friends that I have, I try to carry that with me of like engaging with them and their sense of humor, which aligns very much with mine, by the way. But knowing some of the slang and some of these different memes is just really fun to be able to share with them.
Yeah, 100%. And when you go to Thailand, you see the same thing. Like, they also have like a specific meme page about Thailand and Thai people. So I can show that with you later, but like, it's just hilarious. Like, you learn, you start to understand like, oh, this is the reason why such memes exist, because this is the cultural, this is how Thai people are. Like, it's an awesome way to learn about the culture and people. And yeah, it's great.
Amazing. So I want to pivot to talk about the Korean expat and your sort of coaching business that you have with helping entrepreneurs build friendships, meaningful, lasting, substantial friendships. I would love for you to just explain what it is, what you're doing with it, your goals with it, and then we can talk more about how that's played out for you and what you've learned by living in so many of these different cultures, how that's positioned you as someone to be able to help other people do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically with the Korean expat, I help specifically entrepreneurs and executives to actually make meaningful friendships. And the reason why it's so specific to these two types of people is because I was an executive myself at some point at a very young age in my previous industry. And I climbed up the ladder really quickly. I remember I was completely neglecting friendships just in the name of a higher salary and just climbing up the ladder as fast as possible. And that was sort of what my parents wanted me to do as well. But then COVID hit and it was more like a reality check where I was like, wow, do I really want to live my life like this? And I did a lot of reflection. And I've also met a lot of people, like my colleagues and peers from the industry. And I've also realized that they don't really have a lot of friends. They are, in their personal life, I think a little miserable because they're just drowning in alcohol and some are doing drugs just to cope with the loneliness and with the pressure of the job. And just seeing that firsthand and with COVID allowing me to take a break from all that work and having a lot of free time, I just started to solo travel within the country when restrictions lifted. And I started to meet a lot of people, make a lot of friends, and just realize the impact that this could have and how important it is, specifically for those people that are in high positions. So that sort of is what inspired me. And what I do with this is usually I have a little coaching program. So it's a one-on-one coaching program. And basically what I do is I drop on a call with them every single week with the clients. And we basically break down what they're struggling with in the beginning. And then every single week we set certain goals and what we want to achieve. And I share different resources. Obviously, they also have my WhatsApp, personal WhatsApp, so they can contact me anytime if they have any questions. So it's really a close proximity coaching. And so far, I've helped. One of my biggest clients is in Dubai, and she's a big leader in our industry, 20 plus years of experience. And I was really surprised by working with her because she was so successful when she won all these awards and all this kind of stuff. But she struggles with social anxiety, right? And so just seeing that firsthand also really reinforced the fact that this is something very important. So yeah, it's mostly just coaching one-on-one. And I have a certain program where I work with someone it starts with 8 calls and then they can extend if they want on a monthly basis. But otherwise, if they just want to like book one call, one-time call, they can do that as well. And yeah, I'm just trying to, with this, just really help. I know it's specifically for entrepreneurs and executives, but I think it just applies to everyone, actually, and anyone. I think that my experience of doing so, making friends and building this social circles, you know, in 15 different countries and doing it pretty much my whole life, growing up in all these countries, I feel like I have a good sense of how it can be done. So yeah, that's sort of what was the whole driver and the motivation.
So I love something that you said earlier about when you've been in all these different countries, you have realized that at the end of the day, we're all human and we have the same needs. Of course, friendship and socializing is one of them. I'm curious how you tailor your approach for people based on where they are, because even if what you're saying is true, there's still those cultural differences that might make it easier or harder to build friendships depending on where that person is. For example, I have felt, even though I've been blessed to live in Austin where it's very easy to make friends and people are very social here, I still felt like in my time in Mexico City, even though it was only 3 months, so that's a caveat, but I felt like there was just a little bit more ease socially in terms of people being a little bit more generous with their time, not sort of looking at their watch while they're, you know, talking to you metaphorically or literally or their phone. And I just felt like people were a little bit more open and receptive to friendship, whether that was an expat or local. And although at times, because of the transience, I could tell some people were like, no, like maybe I don't want to let this person in. That's kind of a side topic, but I'm curious, yeah, how you sort of adjust your approach and how maybe you factor that into your approach, especially if you might need to learn something about that particular person's culture if you haven't lived there or don't know much about it. But yeah, how does that come up for you? How do you navigate that depending on where someone lives and what their culture is like?
It's a great point. There's two things to this topic. Number one is there is, I think, common themes across every kind of country. So that's something that I kind of work with everyone, regardless of where they are in the world. And the second thing is what you exactly mentioned. It's about the cultural awareness and just knowing more about the world. So to start with the first point, some of the common themes that I've noticed when working with people is either they lack self-confidence, or like that's one aspect, but also the other thing that sort of prevents people from making friends is they don't really make so much. I mean, there's so much in their head. I mean, I guess that connects with self-confidence, but they don't really put in much effort to get to know people. So they lack curiosity. And I think those two are the most common themes. And then in terms of the cultural aspects, yeah, like a lot of people are also, like I said before, very comfortable in their own element, in their own bubble. So they don't put in a lot of effort to actually know people, different people's lifestyles. And it doesn't have to even be cultural. It can just be things like people's lifestyles, people's values, even within the same culture. Because it's so nuanced, because some people might have grown up in a neighborhood where people are a lot more open-minded. Some people might have grown up in a place where they're not open-minded. So just learning these little things, I think, is important. And so going back to your point, first of all, I usually start by reinforcing those two common themes, so self-confidence and curiosity, which are the biggest ones, and sort of guide them through how to build those, because I think those are the building blocks and foundations of making meaningful friendships. And then after that, if they want to sort of expand their friend group and maybe like really widen that range, then I always tell them, you have to learn about the world. Like, you have to learn about what's going on, not only locally, but also internationally, and just make that effort. And if you don't know, ask people. Like, when you're interacting with people, ask about it and learn about it that way. So those two are the things that I sort of emphasize and work with them on.
So I'm curious, in all your experience helping people build friendships, how do you advise people on how to make the best kinds of friendships for them? Because I've found, at least in my life, and you know, especially now with the experience I've had in Mexico City, some friends are in your life for a season, some are in your life forever. And sometimes maybe it fluctuates and you have, you know, times where you're less connected with them, times where you are more connected with them. But I definitely felt reflections on that when I was in Mexico City of like, oh, there are different kinds of people I'm meeting here that have maybe different interests, values, experiences. And some people in my life that I knew before who haven't done some of the things that I'm doing now in terms of entrepreneurship, travel, and different creative things that I've got going on, some people in my life may not be able to relate to me in the same way as they did before, and vice versa. Whereas all these new people I was meeting in Mexico City, it was just a different dynamic. So that was sort of a little light bulb for me. I'm just like, oh, I'm changing. And as a result, my friends are going to look a little different now, or my relationships are going to look a little different now. So I'm curious how you advise people on how to find the right friends for them, because especially lifestyle differences really impacts that, whether it's something culturally, like an expat trying to make, or a foreigner trying to make a friendship with a local, or like, for example, with me in Austin, I have so many musician friends that I love and are amazing, but I have a different lifestyle from them because I'm not a working musician. You know, my music is more of a hobby and I have all these other different things going on. And that just leads to a different dynamic where we can't always engage in the same way. So anyway, I'm curious what you've done to help people figure out, here's how you can sort of tell what's going to be an authentic, you know, fruitful friendship for you versus what might be something that's a little bit more surface level.
So that's a great question. I think, and I get this quite often, actually, one of the biggest things that I always emphasize to my clients and just to people in general is that people need to really know who they are as a person. So they need to know what their values are, what their hobbies are, like just everything about them. So I usually tell them, take the time to sit down and really list down everything about yourself, your personality, what are your views in life, like from A to Z, basically. Like, you actually fully know who you are as a person, what you want in life, and what you want out of your friendships. So once you do that, and once you're fully sure, then you can start interacting with people. And when you start interacting with people, you can start to see does this person align with what I value? Does this person align with where I want to go in life? Like, because you have obviously business, you have the professional aspect, you have the personal aspects. There's so many different things that come into play, right? So by understanding all of that and speaking to someone, you can sort of sense whether this person is someone that you want to spend more time with or that you don't want to spend more time with. And another big thing that I think a lot of people misunderstand is that they think that you need to be friends with every single person, especially people that struggle with friendship. They think, oh, like I need to be friends with everyone, or I need to like please everyone. But it's really okay to like not be friends with anyone. It's actually really normal. You can't be friends with everyone because you can't please everyone. So that's why it's even more important to know who you are and then just sort of stick to the people that aligns with your values and your goals and where you want to be in life, basically. So that's sort of how I help them with that. And then at the same time, I don't tell them to fully dismiss the people that sort of disagree, because you can disagree with someone and have different hobbies and different values, but still have a mutual respect, right? So you can have different types of relationships, but if you want really deep ones, then yeah, know yourself and stick with people that have the same. But you can also still maintain a certain level of friendship with people that you don't really agree with. The most important thing is to know yourself. At the end of the day, you have to know yourself and you have to constantly work on yourself to become a better person and to, well, whatever that means for you to become a better person. But like, yeah, just be unapologetically who you want to be and find people that are kind of the same and want to align with that.
It's such a good point about values, and it's like kind of resonant with the idea of travel. Like, I think that's one thing that for me has helped me understand who I am and what I want. And especially being in a different country or a different culture, you start to get different things presented to you, or you're otherwise forced to interact in a different way because it's a different culture. And another concept that came up for me that I've learned recently and just came to mind when you were talking is in terms of the different degrees of the kinds of friendships you can have, and some are more strong and maybe more active than others. One thing, and I can't remember where I heard this, but the idea of not keeping score, which is something I've been guilty of sometimes, where if a friend doesn't invite me to something, or they don't get back to me on something, or they're like engaging with me in a way that's like, there's just something that I don't like. And I'll like mentally like keep a score of that, like, oh, they didn't get back to me about this thing, so, you know, I'm mad at them now. And it's like, I've just learned to like let that go and understand that different people have different ways of, it's almost like friendship has its own love language or set of love languages, just like a relationship does. Some people, you just got to understand with your friends how they like to spend time and how you like to spend time, so that you don't start keeping score. Someone might really prefer being in person and just doesn't like to text much, vice versa. Sometimes I've gotten upset with my friends for not texting me back because I'm really communicative over text, whereas some of them are not. But yeah, man, I think it's beautiful what you're doing with friendship, because I think it's so important, not only for everyday life, but in particular for all the different experiences that you've had with traveling and engaging with different cultures. I think the more that people can be adept at building friendships, no matter where they are, is only going to enrich their lives. And like we were talking about earlier, especially being in a different place, and whether you're traveling or you're living there temporarily, be open to the possibilities. Like I said, I met a few friends from different countries simply in one night in San Francisco. And, you know, in Mexico City, I've built up friendships with locals and expats, and I've just learned a lot from that. And I think it's because of travel that I've had that sort of muscle exercise in terms of socializing and building friendships. So it's really cool to see what you're doing with helping people develop that, you know, locally, and then maybe they can carry that into their travels and seeing more of the world. So Kevin, this has been amazing, man. As we round this out, is there anything that you want to share with the people about you, or any thoughts or reflections on our conversation as we wrap up?
No, first of all, thanks again for having me on the podcast. No, I think it's definitely an important topic, and you know, it's something that I think is not spoken enough about. And you know, I just hope that the people that are struggling with this and that really want, you know, belonging and really want to connect with people, I hope that they understand that it's okay to share that you're struggling with it, And because it's more common than you think, a lot of people are fighting silent battles. I just hope that people can be more open about it and we can just talk more about this topic. I'm always down to talk about this with anyone. So if anyone wants to talk about it, just feel free to reach out. Or if anyone needs help, I know June is obviously Men's Mental Health Month. I'm here if they need me.
Where can the people find you if they want to reach out to you?
I'm pretty active on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Threads. The handle is the same, the Korean Expat, on all those three. So you can find me there.
Amazing. Well, I can vouch for Kevin Jung. He's an amazing dude. And I've only known him for a short time, but he's been a great friend to me, especially in our adventures in Mexico City, hiking in Los Dinamos, going out to the cantinas. It's been a rad time, man. So you're an awesome dude, and I'm excited to see more of what you're going to be doing. And this is an awesome conversation. And I can't wait to get back to Mexico City and see you soon. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me. And see you soon.
Well, let me tell you, there's nothing quite like making friends in a new country, whether it's with people who are new to that country as well, but from somewhere different than you, or people who are locals. I've seen it over and over again, both with travel experiences I've had inside the US and out, that people who are drawn to travel just have a really interesting perspective on life. And I feel like there's so much we can learn from each other. And I want to spread that mindset out to the world. And I also want to encourage anyone who's listening to just reflect on the friendships you have in your life and the curiosity that you might have about seeing more of the world, whether it's your own backyard or some other country. But I can guarantee you, the more you get into the habit of leading with curiosity, being open to completely new experiences, it's going to change your life. It certainly has changed mine. And in Mexico City, the community I've started building there, I honestly can't imagine what my life would be like without them now, because among so many other things, they brought me here. So my guest today, again, was Kevin Jung. You can follow him at The Korean Expat on Instagram, on Threads, on LinkedIn. Thank you so much for being here. This is episode one of The Conscious Gringo. I hope you had a great time. We're going to keep having more fun on this podcast. We're going to keep learning. We're going to keep talking to fascinating people. So until next time, as we say in Mexico, nos vemos.